Hey y'all, I'm Shelby, a marketer, creative, wordsmith, and world-class talker.
And I'm Erica, a project manager, creative, interior designer, and world-class hype woman. And we are the hosts of the All Things Melanin podcast.
This is a safe space for open, honest, and transparent conversations of the norm.
We share our journey of navigating all aspects of life, and we ain't holding back. Now let's get into this week's episode. Erica. Hey, Shelby.
What's good? What's popping? What's happening? What's right with you today? How's your heart?
Let's see. I'm going to try to think of a good adjective or descriptive word. I would just say grateful, honestly. Me and my mom went out to lunch. Well, actually, I kind of forced her to go out with me to lunch the other day. And we went to one of my favorite restaurants and we sat at the bar. I was like, oh, look at us. We, you know, out here living. But just like sitting at the bar and just talking and just having fun and laughing and not a care in the world. Like, I know, like, my mom, she has gone through a lot of stuff this past couple months. And I was just like, you know what? I'm so grateful I can just sit at this bar and kiki with my mama at this point. So I would just say, like, little things like that, I'm just grateful for. Trying to be more content with where I'm at and not too focused on where I'm not at. So that's how I would say just my heart is just focusing on what I'm grateful for and content about. What about you? How's your heart?
I love that, friend. I would say for me, similar to you, grateful, blessed, loved, loving, and honestly just in this gracious place in my heart and just place in my life. I think for me, I don't know. I just feel like I'm in a good mental and emotional space. I think that things are up. I think that things are going good. And I am really just focused on doing things that bring me joy, creating new experiences, loving on people that love me, and literally turning up this season of my life in the best way possible. And so I'm just looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to new experiences. And honestly, I'm just looking forward to whatever is next that God has for me. So I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm thriving. I'm doing all of the things in a positive light.
I love that.
Okay. So since we've done our heart check, let's get into the question of the day. And so the question of the day, to warm up our vocals, you know, to warm up the episode, is what would your younger self think of who you are today?
How young are we talking? No, I'm playing. My younger self. Well, let me tell y'all, my younger self was very sassy, very bossy. And I'm talking like 2 and 3 years old. I was telling everybody what to do and where to be and how to do it at a 3 years old. but I would say, I hope my younger self would be proud of me now. I hope she would be impressed with how far I have come, not just like business wise or career wise, but emotionally. spiritually, and just where I'm at in a good spot mentally as well. I think she would be proud of me and impressed by that, especially of how resilient I've been since the little me. So that's how I would hope that she would think of me today. She would be inspired that. Yeah, basically resilient. She would be proud of that. So the big E, not the little one. What about you?
I love that, friend. And I think that little E would be so proud of big E. I think that my younger self would be like, oh, girl, you lit. Like, even though we didn't know what lit was when we were little, but I think that my younger self would be just really proud of the way that I move, the way that I think, the way that I love, the way that I treat people in the community that I've cultivated, along with the things that I've accomplished, but also like the person that I am at the core. And I feel like little me would be like, girl, you an it girl, not the girl, but an it girl. And to me, an it girl is just somebody that radiates and is so just authentically themselves, and it's positive, it's happy, and they just have this light. And I think little Shelby, I think she would be happy. I think she would be good. It's so funny. My mom and I were talking the other day, and the running joke in the family is that, like, particularly with my parents, is that I was a very happy child. Like, I was happy about everything, like happy and excited. Like, my mom was like, girl, you low key were like too happy for me and your daddy, but we roll with it. Like, my mom was like, you would be excited about everything. You would be overjoyed. You were just lit from the time you woke up to the time you went to sleep. And I feel like, and I say that because I feel like to a certain extent, I've been able to keep that childlike joy and that childlike happiness and excitement. So I think that, like, little Shelby will be proud. She'll be like, you go, girl. So that's what I think.
I love that, friend. Like I always tell you, don't lose that light because you definitely are the light. So let's keep it moving to our first segment of the show, which is dating and relationships. So, Shelby, the question is, when do you know you should give it more time and more chances, or when to let that shit go?
For once, I don't think I have a lot to say. I think it's going to be pretty to the point. But honestly, I think that, I don't know, I'm just one of those people that I feel like you have to be really honest about, like, what you want and what you need and what you deserve. I think that it's really important to have boundaries and to stand 10 toes down on that. And I think that when you're honest about that, you pray, you ask God for signs, you do all the things. I think that your body and your nervous system will tell you when it's time to go. My mama always tell me, she was like, you can't tell nobody when they're sick and tired, and you can't tell nobody what to do. But if you get sick and tired long enough, or you get sick and tired, period, you will leave and you will do what you want to do. I think for me, anytime that I decided that it's time to go, I think that I've realized and had the signs and the red flags and the confirmation from God that I'm not aligned with that person. We don't want the same things. We don't have the same values, and it's hard. I had a conversation with my cousin one day, and she was telling me, she was like, when you meet the person for you, it's gonna be easy. She was like, I'm not saying life is gonna be easy. She was like, but the relationship that you have with him is gonna be easy, and you're not gonna have to force it. And so I felt that in the back of my mind. And so when I talk to guys or I date guys now, I know pretty quickly from discernment and clarity and praying if that person is for me. I'm not the type of person that tries to make you be who I want you to be, and I don't want to be who you want me to be. I think that if you go in trying to change a person, that's not your person. But if a person naturally evolves and changes with you, that's totally different. Because what a lot of people will do sometimes, going on a tangent, is they will get with you because they love your light and try to dim your light. And that's a red flag. And so for me, I just trust my body. I trust my instincts and my nervous system and my nervous system and my conscience. A lot of times, be like, girl, if you don't get the hell out of here, away from that man. And sometimes, like, it doesn't work out, and it's no beef, and they can be a good person. But one thing I say to my friends is, just because he's a good person doesn't mean he's your person. And I think that you have to trust yourself and trust your intuition and trust what you want and what you need. Because when you do that, one thing that I've learned from personal experience, and Erica knows this, is that God will block you from things and from people and places that aren't for you. Whole time you mad, God just protected you from something that would have literally broken you down. And so I would say just trust yourself. I think as far as it goes, when you should give it more time, I think you should give it more time if you feel like you're not sure if it's a definite yes or a definite no. And I feel like in those scenarios that you should ask yourself, what is it going to take for me to get to a definite no or definite yes? And to take it a step further, what do I need from this person, or what do I need to know? And when you know those two things, I think that you should bring it to that person's attention and ask them. And, tell them what you need and what you want. I think a lot of times we're scared to tell people that because we don't want them to not want us, or we don't want them to be like, you're too much, or I'm not doing that. But for the right person, they are going to do what they need to do. if it's in with it's in, if it's in within reason, right? To keep you to stay around and to do the work. I think also if a person is willing to do the work and to compromise and to be better in what you need, I think that that is a good reason to, need more time. But I also think that like you have to already know what you want and what you need, and then just present it to the other person. I'm very big on honesty, transparency, and being open, just giving people the information, and then they do with that information that they want, but they need to stand on it 10 toes down. Because if I ask you to do something and you can't do it, then the repercussion is I'm leaving. The repercussion is it's a wrap. And I think that sometimes we don't want to hurt other people's feelings. And I don't necessarily think you have to hurt people's feelings, but I don't think that you have to stay in a situation to spare somebody's feelings. So I think, I think it's my sign to leave is if my nervous system and the red flags are like, girl, if you don't get the hell out of here. And then I will wait if I'm not 100% sure, but I get to the bottom of what I need and what I need to know. And I'm just like an open, transparent book. Like I would literally be like, I need this from you. This is what I want. And depending on how that conversation goes, he pretty much just writes the book on if I stay, if I go. And either way, I'm cool because, what's for me is gonna be for me. What about you, friend?
Listen, I personally have been very guilty of holding on to things way too long. And like you kind of touched on, God will make something dramatic happen, something traumatic happen that where you have no choice but to let it go. But now at this big age, baby, the E in my name stand for Elsa. Let it go because I just don't have the time. At this big age, I don't have the time to be trying to give you multiple and multiple and multiple chances. The one thing that I do want to touch on that you've already kind of said is the woman's intuition is a real thing. You have that knowing in your gut. Like we be knowing things before we be knowing things. So listen to that. 9 times out of 10, you're not tripping. Okay, so don't ignore those red flags. One thing, Shelby already knows this, but my mom would always tell me at the end of the day, when you sitting in your house or your room by yourself, you know if you're getting treated right or not. So you need to ask yourself, are you settling? So if you answer, yes, I feel like I'm settling, that should be your sign. It's time to let it go. Why would you settle? So also another sign to let it go would obviously be if it is detrimental to your mental, emotional, and physical well-being. Okay? Because listen, God will not give you peace in a situation that you're not supposed to be in. You will always feel no peace. So for me, I would just say listen to that woman's intuition that you have because it's there. And I feel like if you've had conversation after conversation about what things need to change, and nothing changes, guess what? Nothing changes. So I would say for me, I think the main reason why people have a tough time letting it go is really they have a tough time letting go of their idea of how they thought it was going to be. Not necessarily letting go of what it is. They're like having a hard time of letting go of what they thought it was. Or who that person, who they have of that person in their mind. Because if you really look at the facts and look at how that person's treating you and look at how you're being treated, you would be like, nah, let it go. Another piece of advice I would say, if you're like teetering between, should I give it another chance? Should I let it go? Write down the good and the bad. I call it the red light, green light. Write down the bad and the good. And if the good outweighs the bad, then obviously give it another chance. And I don't mean you have 50 million bad things on your list and 2 good things. Don't do it when you're mad. Like do it when you can think clearly. But make sure you're weighing it based on quality and not quantity. You can have 50, 11 million bad things on there, but it could be little petty things like, man, he don't pick up his drawers after he get out the shower. Like that doesn't matter compared to other things. Shelby shaking her head. Actually, it do matter. So my thing is make that list and if the good outweighs the bad, then I would give it another chance. Another thing too is go back to wanting or knowing what it is that you wanted out of this relationship. And if you feel like you're not getting that, it's not progressing, it's not going anywhere, that's another sign too. A lot of people don't want to let go because they don't want to start over, which I get it. Nobody who wants to start over, especially after you've invested so much time and money and just emotional stuff with somebody. Nobody wants to start over, but you got to remember that the person that you choose, that's an important part of your life. Nothing is going to change if that person is not changing. And you cannot make anybody change. That person gonna have to want to change on their own. And a lot of the times they don't change, you just realizing who they always were. Okay, I think I'm done. So that would be my advice on how to know when something is time to go or you can give it another chance.
Love that, friend. Like, you literally wrapped that in a bow perfectly.
Well, thanks. All right, let's keep it moving to the journey. So this is when Shelby and I are going to talk about our journey to building our brand, or maybe give our opinion on our journey on being in corporate America. So today we're just going to talk about business and career. So the topic is how to go after what you want in business or career. So Shelby, let's give some tips on how to actually do that. So, for example, how do you actually shoot your shot professionally, of course?
Yeah, so I think when it comes to like corporate America or professional, like you have to be like really calculated when you shoot your shot. Like I don't feel like you could just wake up on Tuesday and be like, I deserve to be vice president of finance and go in there and tell them people to pay you money. Girl, you getting fired or they laughing at you and they're not taking you seriously and they're not promoting you. I know that's a dramatic example, but I'm saying, I think that when it comes to shooting your shot professionally, like I said, I think that you have to be very calculated. I think that you should, first of all, write the vision. Habakkuk 2 and 2, write the vision and make it plain. Like, write down on paper, like, what is your career goal? Like, what do you want to do? Like, write down your career, like, sorry. Write down your ultimate career goal and what that entails in your dream job, in your dream life. What do you do every day that you love? What don't you love? What do you want your title to be? Do you see yourself at this company or do you see yourself at another company? Do you see yourself in this industry or do you see yourself in another industry? Like, write down every single detail that you can fathom, dream, or believe. Once you write that down, like what you would like your career trajectory to lead to be. Another thing that is very important, and please know that I am not a career professional, so please take everything that I say with a grain of salt. Another thing that I think is really important is to get your manager or your leadership on board. But I do recognize the caveat to that is you have to have a manager or leadership that's very supportive of you and that likes you, because there is a lot of politics in corporate America that we do not talk about and we skip over. So that's important. And I think opportunities to do that are in your one-on-ones. I think opportunities to do that are in your one-on-ones around the time where you get bonuses, merit increases, things like that. Because a lot of times we have these dreams and these visions that we want to do, but our manager doesn't know or our leadership doesn't know. And like I said, I know the caveat to that is having somebody that is going to help you, and also having people in your organization that advocate for you and speak your name positively when you're not in the room. So I get that and I understand that. So I think that once you kind of have your plan, I think that it's a good idea when you feel comfortable to, start to share with your manager, like, what do you enjoy doing, where you would like to be, and even asking them to come up with a plan on how to help you get there. Because I feel like one of the things is a lot of times people don't even know that you want to move up or that you want to do more or that you want more money. And I think that if you can't have that conversation with your management or leadership, that's a red flag that you need to try to figure something else out. I'm never going to tell you to quit because these bills got to be paid, but you got to figure something else out. Like, you need to figure out, like, do you need to be in a different department? Do you need a different manager? Or do you need a whole different job? So that's how I would say. And then I think once your manager is aware of that, I think it's really important going forward to kill everything that you do. Like, you have to be superior, you have to be excellent, and you have to add value. So this is a great opportunity to think outside the box within reason, to be overly prepared for everything, to have a game plan, and to really, challenge yourself. I remember one of my managers saying one day, she was like, we don't get better by doing things that we're good at. We get better by doing things that make us uncomfortable or we don't feel qualified to do. And I think that's another thing that allows you to do. But I think a big part of shooting your shot professionally is knowing what you want to do and then deciding what is it going to take to get there and doing those things, in addition to, having an open, honest and transparent conversation with your manager or leadership on what you would like to do or where you see yourself, and mapping out a plan together on how you're going to get there. And then if they're not willing to do that, just figuring out, okay, like, what can I do or where can I go that I'm going to be able to do this. But that's what I think, friend. What do you think about shooting your shot professionally?
Yes, I love all of that. I think the only thing that I could add to that, because you kind of touched on it, was being prepared. I would say if you're going to shoot your shot, make sure you 10 steps ahead. Make sure when you shoot your shot, if you're creative, make sure you have like a media kit prepared. It's kind of like a resume. And making sure you have that updated at all times. Make sure you have it on your website or your social media so that when you are shooting your shot, it's easily accessible for people to see that. Same thing with, corporate. Make sure your resume is always updated. When I say be prepared, it's basically stay ready so you do not have to get ready. Okay. So another thing about shooting your shot professionally is ask for what you want. I will give you an example. For me, I worked in a organization that was more loosely structured, meaning we did not have a manager per se. So it wasn't like we had opportunities to get merit increases and things like that. So you basically had to advocate for yourself if you felt like you deserved a raise. Like, you've been there X amount of time, you're taking on more responsibilities in your role. So I will say it was very intimidating, but I came with facts, I came with stats, and that's how what I mean by being prepared to shoot your shot. So I had to call a meeting with the leadership and basically state my case on why I feel like I'm being or why I should have a raise. And one thing that they said to me was they're actually so glad that I came and approached them with that, because honestly, leadership is not paying attention to what you're doing on your level. And I'm not trying to say that in a good or bad way. I'm just saying if you are not stating and making your self known, they're not going to know. And so my point is, be confident enough to shoot your shot in that way of saying, this is what I feel like I'm worth. And don't lowball yourself. Even if they do give you a lower raise than you expected, don't ever walk in there with like, well, I'll just take whatever you feel like I should have. Like, no, have a number in your mind, look up the industry, look up what the industry average is, and make up, go from there. So don't ever wait for somebody to be like, you know what, Erica, you're doing a really good job, we're gonna give you an extra 5,000. No, they're never gonna do that. As long as you're working and they ain't gotta pay you an extra 5,000, then that's exactly what they're going to do. So I would say that's all I would add to the shoot your shot professionally part of it. So Shelby, let's talk about.
Can I
Oh
add
yeah.
something? Can I add
Yeah.
something to that really quick that I thought of while you were saying that, just to piggyback off what you said, because that was amazing. The other thing that I would say when shooting your shot professionally is to document every single thing that you're doing. And then in addition to documenting, try to tie back to metrics on how it added value or
Yeah.
how it was successful, because stats do not lie. Numbers do not lie. So, like I said, track everything that you're doing and include like what the purpose of it, what the value was, and try to put some type of numeric value to it. Because a lot of times when people are like, oh, you're not doing this or you're not doing that, but when you run back the stats, all they can say is, oh, because to Erica's point, a lot of times, when you get hired for something, you do that job, but a lot of times you end up taking on more things or you find other passion projects and you have your hands in a lot of pots. And I think it's a a way that, for instance, like when you feel discouraged, to hype yourself up, but also it's a way to show your manager leadership what you're doing and how you're bringing in money. Because at the end of the day, businesses care about their bottom line. If you're helping them with their bottom line, that's going to help you with your case a lot more. I just want to add
Yes,
that.
exactly. 100%. So let's talk about connections through networking, events. Like, how would you go after what you want in that setting?
Just have to go up and talk to people. And I think that you just have to, maybe you got to take a shot, maybe you got to have a drink, maybe you got to pep yourself up in the car and do a little dance, maybe hit the chicken head and then go in there. But I think that when it comes to making connections at events, you just have to go up and, start a conversation. And I think that sometimes people just start out with business, and I think that's okay. But I think maybe try to find like a similarity, I cannot talk, but something similar. That you can, just start the conversation with and then just kind of go into it and make it less awkward. Maybe it's giving somebody a compliment, or maybe it's asking a question. But I think that you're never going to know if you can make the connection if you don't go up and speak to them. And if you're going up to speak to someone and you want something from them, I think that you need to determine how can you provide that person value so that it's beneficial to them.
Yes, I love that too. And I think this area that we're talking about right now has always been so intimidating for me, going into networking events or connecting with people that I don't know, because I'm mainly am introverted. If I don't know you, then I'm extroverted if I do know you. So, it's always been a challenge, and it still is honestly a challenge for me today to go to networking events and kind of put myself out there, shoot my shot professionally. But I do remember years ago when I was going to a job fair, I literally sat in my little Mustang and I was talking myself out of going in there. I don't know, it was all of a sudden I had all this anxiety. Like, it was a very large job fair. I was already intimidated. Everybody in their suits and their resumes, and at this point I was still new to the grown people job game, like I just didn't feel confident. Like, it felt like I didn't have enough experience, and I was in my car just talking myself out of it. And I said, you know what, if you don't go in there and talk to nobody, at least go in there and talk to the people that will review your resume. They have a lot of resources like that in job fairs where somebody will at least tell you how to update your resume or make it look better. So I was like, at least let me go stand in that line. Like, hey, can you look at my resume and make sure? So I was standing there. I actually got the attention of somebody that was able to get me a job. And so that job, if I never would have gone to that job fair or got out of my little car and went in there, I would have never gotten hired for that job, and I would have never had the knowledge that I have now. You see what I'm saying? So for anybody that is kind of like me and you just kind of get so overwhelmed and intimidated by these type of things, make a goal. Be like, okay, if I'm going into this networking event, I'm going to talk to three people. You ain't got to do the most, but another thing that Shelby kind of touched on that I think is important is making sure you're making genuine connections. Don't just try to go up to somebody because you feel like they the big wig. Don't always go after the big wig. You know what I'm saying? You could be talking to the, assistant or the admin, and they could have more pool, to get you into conversations and rooms. So just make sure you're being authentic, you're being yourself, and go from there. Another story I'll share about networking or connections was for my business. I realized, okay, this industry is tough and I don't really know what I'm doing. So I'm going to need what? A mentor. So even if you go to these networking events, maybe you can find a mentor. If they even offer a mentorship program, or maybe you could just say, like, hey, can I sit with you and get your ideas on how the industry is? Can we grab coffee? Go to lunch? Like, it could be something so simple like that. So for me, I slid in my now mentor's DMs on Instagram, which I never do. And I was like, hey, would you be interested in going to meet me at the Cheesecake Factory? And so I met with her. She was like, actually, I have a mentorship program if you are interested. From then on, I was able to be a part of that until this day, which, like, a year later, we still talk. I just called her today and we just chatted about, like, as we're friends. We're not just, oh, girl, give me some tips on what to do. We're actually friends. So My point is, if you feel like you want to approach somebody, ask them out to coffee or lunch to get their idea, if you know they've been in the industry that you're trying to get in or the position that you feel like you want to be in, ask them out to coffee. Do something like that. It doesn't have to be so intimidating. So basically, just make authentic connections. So Shelby, the next couple of things I want to talk about is speaking up and taking a leap of faith by putting your ideas and strategies out there.
Think that when you're shooting your shot and speaking up and taking a leap of faith, I think that a part of it is just like putting your gift out there and figuring it out and doing the work and, working to overcome the challenges that you have to do because you don't know until you put yourself out there. But I think the other thing that's really important before you take a leap of faith or you speak or whatever is that you do your research and that you ask yourself what your why is. Do your research and see what other people that See what people are doing that are in your industry or doing what you want to do, not to copy them, but for inspiration and to see what type of content they're doing and just to see how they're doing it in general. And then I think it's really important to take it and put your sauce on it because it's important to do research and to just know market information. And then I think you just have to take the leap of faith and do it because I think that if you don't put your gift out there, if you don't do it, then you'll never know. And if you never know, you'll never be successful in it. So I think a big part of it is just research and then, just doing it and putting yourself out there and working through it.
That's exactly what I was going to say too. But yeah, the speaking up part, they always say closed mouths don't get fed. And that is so true in any situation. So I feel like if you have the opportunity to take on an additional project or, at the current job that you're in, or take on something or help somebody do something, that is a way of speaking up too, because maybe people will be like, you know what, that project you stepped on, you did amazing, Just finding those ways that you can propel yourself ahead. But then obviously with if taking a leap of faith to put your idea or strategy out there can be scary, but I feel like you have that idea, you have that strategy for a purpose and for a reason. So especially with creatives, if nobody else has done it or you've never seen anybody else do it the way that you do, and you might be like, well, nobody else is doing it like this. Is this not how I'm supposed to do it? Put it out there anyway. Maybe you're supposed to be the pioneer. Come on. So, I would say, just take the leap and go forward with that idea. And then the last thing is educating yourself. How important is educating yourself when you are trying to go for what you want in business?
I think that's the number one thing that you have to do. Because it's like if you don't educate yourself, you just going in blind. And I think there's a very limited chance that you will be successful. I mean, you can't be a unicorn because when God puts his hand on anything, anything is possible and will happen. But I think educating yourself is pivotal because I think that it allows you to evolve, grow, and increase your knowledge. And it makes you a better person and equips you with the knowledge, the tools, and the resources that you need. So I think the education is probably like the most important thing when it comes to shooting your shot personally, as well as when you shoot your shot professionally.
Yes, and I would the only thing I would add to that is if you're in a job or that they don't really offer those types of resources, don't wait on them. Like we said, prepare, always stay prepared, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So, look up some online classes or webinars or master classes that are free if you don't have the funds to do it. There's always pieces of education you could be studying on that topic or that industry that you want to be in or around. So always make sure that you are up to date on what you should know to get where you want to be. So that's what I would say. I feel like we gave so many gems, and y'all should be professionals by the end of this segment. Let us know what new job you got. All right. So let's keep it moving to the mentor segment. So this is when Shelby and I will read a listener's letter, and then we're going to give our advice on it. So the letter says, "Hi, Shelby and Erica. I absolutely love your podcast, especially your dating and relationship segment. You ladies keep it 100. So, question for you. I am in a relationship. We moved in together about 6 months ago, but I have a lacking feeling that something is missing. I'm starting to see he is complacent in areas of his life, including our relationship. Overall, he is a great person, but doesn't check all the boxes for me mentally and emotionally. We've had conversations about it, but nothing is changing. So now I'm starting to think he's not the person for me. Any advice on what I should do?
You want to go first, friend?
Sure. I was gonna say, girl, move out. No, I can't tell you to do that, but I will say moving in with someone, I mean, I haven't done it before, but I feel like moving in with somebody could play a part in why they are complacent with moving the relationship forward or keeping it exciting. I don't know. I just feel like that could be part playing a part in it, especially if you have marriage on your mind and he's already being complacent. Like if you think about it, what is it, what is his incentive to marrying you, building a family if you've already moved in with him? So I would say reevaluate that and think about it. I would also say if you've already had these conversations and nothing is changing, think about how much time you have given him. If you've given him so much time and nothing has changed, then I would say it might be time to let it go. If you have, if it's only been like 2 or 3 weeks and you haven't seen any change, I wouldn't jump the gun so fast. I just feel like people are going to be who they are and they're not going to change unless they want to change. And like I've mentioned before, most of the time people don't change, they just reveal more and more of who they are. So that lacking feeling, I feel like could be your intuition telling you that something is not right here. So don't ignore that. So I do commend you for at least having the conversations, but for you personally, you have to do what's best for you and make a decision. Don't wait on him to, what are you going to do about this? You know what I'm saying? Have make get to the point where you are going to make a decision. Don't leave him in limbo and then you start to act resentful because he ain't noticing you slamming dishes because you mad that he ain't, you know, whatever. Like it could just go down that rabbit hole. So I would say listen to that intuition, reevaluate moving out. And you know, it doesn't have to be a messy situation. You could just have a conversation. If it's not what you want, like I said earlier in the segment, at this big age, if it's not what you want, it's okay. Don't try to make that person be who you want them to be. You know, look at them face value. So what would you say, Shelby?
Well, you took what I was going to say, so I'll just piggyback off of it and repeat it. I think, like Erica said, I think that you have to do what's best for you. And I think that deep down, you know what you want to do. I think that, like Erica said, I think this could go one or two ways. I think that if you are already at the point where you know this isn't for you and it isn't serving you and you want to dip, I would say plan your exit very smoothly and dip. Because I think that you have to put yourself first and you deserve to be happy and you deserve to have everything that you want. But I also feel like if you are not ready to let it go, I would suggest maybe talking to a professional so you can have a mediator, you know, to talk through things, to work through things. But also, since you know what you want and what you're lacking for them, like what are specific things that you want from him and tell him. And then if he, like Erica said, cannot rise up to the occasion, I feel like that is the last straw or the last like red flag or thing that you need to know that you need to move on. Because you deserve to have an individual or a person that is going to be who you need them to be. Not a perfect person, but a person who shows up for you mentally and emotionally. Because in today's world, life can be hard, life can be heavy, life can be a lot of things. And if this is going to be your person, then it's important that he knows how to show up for you and to do what he needs to be. Because if he can't leave y'all's house, if he can't leave y'all's household because he isn't emotionally, mentally available, then that's just no way, no way. That's just my little two cents. I'm not a professional, but that's all I got.
All right, y'all. If you have a question that you want us to answer, send us an email to allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at allthingsmelanin__. So today we're going to leave you with words of encouragement out of Isaiah 30:18. And it says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up and show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. So for this Bible verse, when I read it, I mean, first of all, sometimes we feel like, well, I'll say for me, I can't speak for everyone. I feel like God has forgotten, okay? Because you've been waiting for so long for that breakthrough, that promise, the blessing, or the situation to be made right. But let me tell you something. We have to remember the character of God. He will settle all accounts, just not on your time. So when this talks about his graciousness, to me, that just reminds me that he sees me and he sees what I'm going through. And it's not like he's just sitting there watching me suffer. But it's definitely changed my view on the character of God. We have to remember he's not some big, scary creature like sitting on a throne. he's gracious, and we are blessed to be able to wait for him because he knows all and sees all. So, what does this Bible verse mean to you, Shelby?
I love that, friend. That was beautiful. I think for me, I think it's just a reminder that like God is a good God. He is a gracious God. He is a loving God, and he is just an amazing God. And I think it's a reminder that like God's intention is not to hurt us, not to harm us, not to make us suffer, not to do any of those things. Like God literally wants us to, I believe, to receive the desires of our to receive the desires of our heart, right? Because it says in the Bible, you have not because you ask not. But I feel like sometimes we, and I'm talking about myself, treat God like a genie, or we treat God like you should do this for you, or you should do this for me, or you didn't do this for me, or whatever the case may be. And I feel like we forget in general that like God already knows our purpose. He already knows the beginning and the end for us. He already knows everything about us. So he already knows what he's destined for us to do, but he already knows what we're gonna do. That was a tangent. That was off topic. But to wrap this up, I think it's just a reminder that God is a good God, and he wants to comfort us. He wants to show us compassion. And he really, I feel like God really wants to be, oh, well, he's not a person, he's God. He wants to be who we come to receive compassion, to receive love, to receive his graciousness, but we have to go to him to receive those things. And I just think it's a reminder that like when you wait on God, when you trust God, and we are in God's presence in his intimacy, and when you wait on him, he will bless you. Maybe not in your timing, but in your timing, and it will supersede and blow your mind in ways that you can't even imagine.
Absolutely. So on that note, let's pray us on out of here. So bow your head, close your eyes. If you're driving, do not close your eyes. Just slay with it. Okay. So dear God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we're thanking you for all that you have done, all that you are doing and will do in our lives. For every listener here, we pray that you be gracious to them and continue to show them compassion and remind them of your character, God, and how you care for each and every one of us and what we're dealing with. I ask that you show up for those who need an answer, who need confirmation on what to do next. Reveal what needs to be seen in their lives and give them the wisdom to take the next step. And we know and believe that all things work together for our good. Please show up and show out this week, Lord. We thank you for being a good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.